Horrific Network Entertainment. What is going on, everybody? This is Jimmy, and this is another episode of the Horrific Podcast, coming off of kind of like a recovery week, but still a very busy week, ending the school year for us, and we will have, for the most part, a pretty consistent summer here with Horrific Podcast material, that is for sure. Coming up in just a few weeks, Sinister Creature Con, Father's Day weekend in June. Huge guest lineup. We've got Bill Moseley as what I would call the headliner of the thing. But I am so excited for Sinister Creature Con to come back yet again here in June. Last time we were live on stage, it was August. And that was a lot of fun. We had a blast. We returned to Scottish Rite Center in June for Sinister Creature Con in kind of like the proper home, almost like a rehash, a restart, getting back to normal in the pandemic. We were in that huge arena convention in August, and I think mainly that had a lot to do with us having space to keep the space still pretty consistent and fluid, and now we're going back to Scottish Rite, and that'll be something pretty highly entertaining, I think. So going into it, we now look towards that. But hey, Campfire Chronicles is on the air. We've had that going on for the last couple months. We're about to hit episode 10 of that this week. And yeah, man, it's looking good. It's looking, it's been a fun season, and there's some really good movies that we have to talk about tonight. Or this week, you will hear the Campfire Chronicles special of that one that we did for halfway to Halloween as well. A great time to be had for sure. So today, we have, some news. We have seen a lot of news coming out of Star Wars Celebration. I will be talking about that very, very soon. I think we'll start covering that on the tribute show. Then from there, we will talk about some other pretty rad entertainment things. Tales of the Force, that'll be coming back. I don't know. Some movies that I've seen this past week that are not Campfire Chronicles are not going to be covered on Campfire Chronicles. Stuff like Uma. I saw Uma. That movie was a little bit interesting. I thought that was interesting. I saw, not necessarily scary, I saw Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Very Sam Raimi. The end scene, without giving too much spoilers away, because I think everybody was wondering, in the trailer, like, oh my god, there's a zombie Doctor Strange. There's a zombie Doctor Strange. There is a zombie Doctor Strange, but it's all I'll say is it's not entirely like the Marvel zombie Strange that you're necessarily expecting him to be. Let's leave it at that. Also, today, or as I'm recording this, I'm starting Stranger Things. I'll talk about Kenobi, I think, on the tribute show here, and that'll come out probably later this week. because Kenobi was a 10 out of 10. They hit absolutely hit it out of the park. Stranger Things, I'm only a few minutes into it. Yeah, and so far it's not bad. Stranger Things is one of those shows that it's just like, it's very good television. But when each episode now in this season is like, we made you wait all this time and now they're gonna be mega episodes and holy shit. It's like, I don't know, man. It's a lot easier for me to binge on something over a course of a few days when it's not like 15 hours. Like, I don't have 15 hours. I had like 9. I could do like Stranger Things 3, I've watched in like 2 days. So even with that, I didn't sit like a lot of people are toting on Twitter, like, oh, 9 hours, here I go. It's like, okay, I guess. But to each their own. Like, I sat and watched Celebration for 5 hours yesterday. So, whatever. You know, I love Stranger Things. I don't love it more than Star Wars, but I do love it. And I am looking forward to, I mean, right out of the gate, they hit you with a pretty significant, like, story development. And I don't know, you know, what it means for the actual story or where it's going to go or what we're going to do. But it is, at the very least, pretty interesting and entertaining so far. My guest this week on the podcast is Paul Lanner, who was the founder, is the founder of Haunters Against Hate. And that was the organization that we had to benefit with our putting on halfway to Halloween. So, yeah, man, we will leave in the show notes, actually, the link to donate to Haunters Against Hate. We're going to be revealing who won our t-shirt very soon. But yeah, I had a really cool talk with Paul about how he founded Haunters, haunting, haunts, who he chooses to be in his Haunters, his book of Haunters each year, which is a really cool compilation of a bunch of different haunters from all over the world. So I really do think that you guys are going to enjoy this conversation. This is the conversation that kicked off Halfway to Halloween upon us doing Halfway to Halloween. So with that, man, I will pass this along to that interview. And here is Paul. And welcome, everybody, officially to Halfway to number two, Halloween. We are live to kick things off today, man. Cannot wait for you guys to check out everything we have today. And today, to kick everything off, to get us started with Halfway to Halloween, is the man behind Haunters Against Hate, which is what this is really all meant for, is to raise awareness for our friend and for his awesome organization that definitely deserves the support that it hopefully receives from the event that we do the next few days for you guys over the course of the next few days. But if you scan this QR code, it'll take you to Haunters Against Hate's page. Or just Google Haunters Against Hate when you come across this video, whether it be right now live or in the future, and just take the time to learn about them. And if you donate, like the pre-show said, you're going to be entered in to win a 8-Bit Nick HHN Icon t-shirt. You can also be entered in if you like, share, comment, subscribe, interact with us over the 3 days. But the guy, my first guest of the whole weekend, is the founder of Haunters Against Hate, Mr. Paul Lanner. Paul, how are you doing, man?
Hello. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Yeah, we absolutely appreciate you taking the time to come on to kick us off for Haunters Against Hate here. Cannot wait to see. I'm excited to see, you know, what comes out of your second year event, your physical live event. Exciting lineup that has already been announced for that. That's exciting stuff. I think that that event is definitely picking up momentum, it would seem, from the first year to now, has it not?
Yes, it has. People are definitely, they had a great time at the first one. They felt so welcomed and so comfortable there that they're very excited to have a second one. And a lot of people have jumped on board. The vendors signed up right away. The workshops for the, and the amazing thing is at the first event, I had one celebrity who is a dear friend of mine through the years and is a big supporter of Haunters Against Hate. And she actually reached out to her co-stars in the movie she was in, and they all showed massive support and said, we want to be part of this as well to show our support for Haunters Against Hate. So it's been amazing.
For sure. I mean, that the fact that you're just getting that kind of recognition is really awesome, man. Like, that just really shows how much reach you guys truly have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's been a lot of work. I mean, it's almost 6 years now since it first started, and I poured my heart and soul and blood into this to get it to where it's been or where it is now, and to keep it going. It's work, but it's well worth it when you hear the stories, or I get an email from someone, a young person, LGBT person, saying how Haunters Against Hate has affected their life and made them feel more welcome. It's worth every waking hour.
For sure. I can imagine, man. We'll talk about that. Talk about what is the kind of mission statement of Haunters Against Hate. What is the message that you want to recognize? Not even, I was going to say spread, but it's not like you guys are up in your face, like shoving, you know, a pamphlet in people's faces or anything. So spread is kind of, it sounds so negative. I would say, what is the mission that you guys are hoping is kind of like the legacy of Haunters Against Hate? What would be that mission statement? That it was this organization that...
Look at the tagline. Our tagline is, because hate is the scariest thing of all, which is so, so true. And Haunters Against Hate was born out of extreme hatred that was made on social media. So the ultimate goal is to take something that was so negative and started based off the Orlando Pulse massacre and turn it into something good. And by creating these books and t-shirts and getting the word out, it helps LGBT youth realize that, you know what, we are the weirdos, mister. It's okay. You are accepted as a family and you are welcome. Even if it's not your actual family, Haunters are a family unto themselves and welcome everyone. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that horror, more so than any other like community, completely gets behind and welcomes that message.
It's true. It's really true. I mean, when I first started and what started it, 22 Haunts came on board within the first, well, what started the movement, and it's gone over 100 haunts now that are members of Haunters Against Hate. And I've reached out. I mean, I have haunters from Germany in the book now, from the UK, from Australia. So it's spread internationally, which is amazing, truly amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool. So when you, I mean, you just said the book, which, so let's talk about that. The book that you put together, is it bi-yearly, yearly?
It varies. It there's no set goal, you know, like regimen in mind. But ironically, volume 8 came out today.
Oh, wow.
Not
wow.
All the copies in from the printer today, and it's called 8-Bit. Because,
oh man,
each volume generally has a theme, and this one, 8-Bit, is about showing how bit by bit Haunts are put together. So this features not only the actors in Haunts, but the people behind the scenes, like the owners, the makeup artists, the construction people, the front of the house people, stuff like that. Because I want everyone to be recognized. It's a community effort.
For sure. That's really cool, man. Like, yeah. that's really, that's really pretty rad stuff to think that you've been able to put together these books. Essentially, each Haunter is a page in this book that is this really cool, for lack of a better term, yearbook or edition, or, you know, whatever. That's why I asked about how often you put them out, just because it reminded me so much of like a yearbook. And so each page is this different Haunter that exists within the HAH community, and they are decked out in their garb, and it tells their personal story, and it tells also their character story. And I think that that is pretty cool. And it, like, if that person is so inclined, it, like, how one reflects the other. And I think that's pretty cool too. So that book that you put out is a lot of work. So congratulations on number 8 coming out. That's pretty cool in itself. My mind immediately went to my buddy who is 8-Bit Nick, who is doing an art like demonstration on Sunday. And I'm like, anything with 8-Bit, he's a nerd for. So he would be super excited about the fact that this is called 8-Bit Nick and yada, yada, yada. And here we are. But
I love the fact that you said it's something like a yearbook. And that's the way I looked at it when I had my first event for Haunters coming to my events. I said, if you have a book, bring it with you. They got special alumni lanyards.
Oh, nice.
And people were going around like it was a yearbook, having each other sign each other's books. And that's the goal. And that shows how, this is an alumni society now of Haunters Against Hate, that Book of Haunters alumni. And they were very excited. And I even, on their lanyards, I had marked down which volume they were in.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, my God. I have volume 3 in my hand. I know you're in volume 3. Could you autograph my book? And because I wanted them to realize that they are the celebrities as well. They're just important. Yeah. As someone who's been in a film or anything like that, Haunters are just as important.
It's definitely crazy to think about, like you just said, like getting their autographs and stuff, because they are very much like within each of their communities, like an independent Haunts community. They're like their own like version of the HHN icons. Mm-hmm. Like when certain ones have been around for so long, like we have, John who works with us, but his haunt, Higby Horror Haunt, has been around for like 12 years now. And he has certain characters that have changed, and then there are certain characters that he brings back. And when you see that character again, even though you know the particular person who is in that costume, and you know that particular person 90% of the time may play another character, when you see that particular character, like, it does resonate. So the fact that they have like this physical thing that they can like look at, like, that's pretty cool. It's like a token of that resignation mentally. So that's pretty cool, man.
It is. It's amazing. And funny, out of all the volumes I've done, or it's not funny, it's actually really cool. Volume 6 was the volume that filled up the fastest and sold the quickest. And that was dedicated to female haunters in the industry.
Wow.
And it filled up instantly. In fact, I'm considering the next volume, volume 9, to be the sequel. Wow. With that's how big it was. So
nice.
Yeah, you never know. I did one standalone, Book of Clowns. That went over really well too.
You say Book of Clowns?
Clowns, yes. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So how do you choose, like, is there a submission process? Like, who do you choose? Like, how do you choose where to go? How do you meet these people?
I will make a post on the Facebook page and say, you know, I'm opening submissions for the next volume. Please submit a photo and info. No, actually, I start with just send a photo of your character, you know, and I review and say, you know, this is really cool. Here's the form I want you to fill out. And they'll submit the form. The biggest issue I have is, you know, in this society, in this age of online and everything, a lot of people don't realize that for an image to be in print, it has to be high res. It has to be certain quality. Can't use like a Facebook thumbnail image. It won't work. Right. So that's really the biggest issue I run into with some people that have both wanted to be in the book and they're not. And I always tell them, I'm like, you know what? Wait for the next one and just get a photographer, get someone with a better good quality, so whatever, that will take a better quality image of you and resubmit, and I'll get you in another book. Because I love to have everyone in the book. It's like, I don't want to leave anyone out. I want everyone welcome in the books.
Yeah, for sure. I think that is the entire goal of Haunters Against Hate, is to have everybody be able to be included.
Right.
It doesn't matter whatsoever. It's just a matter of you also recognizing that it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And so if everybody's just kind of on the same page, then everybody's gets along, and then there you are. And right. So I think ultimately that is one thing I will say, man. Like, there are certain communities, and I don't think it's not a generational thing, because working like in the school district, you see two generations, literally, sometimes three, like grandparent and child, or parent child. You see those opinions, not necessarily blood related to each other, but like that age gap. Like, rapidly, you're having those opinions brought to you, like, whether you want them or not, they're being brought to your forefront, like, by your coworkers and by your students. And so it's interesting, like, certain, like, Doctor Strange just came out. Mm-hmm. And it is like, there are certain people who just like hate it, and there are certain people who love it. And there are certain people that think it's just kind of like another Marvel movie and it's whatever. And if you disagree with any of them and they find out about it, my God, are they going to like tell you about it? Mm-hmm. And so these like, and at the same time, they will turn around these people and they will say, like, you know, the Marvel community, you know, like, we're the best, like, yada, yada, yada. Like, here we are. Like, but in actuality, no, there's no community exists there. And I'm not saying that necessarily about the Marvel community. I'm just using them as an example. But the fact of the matter is, like, we need to try to focus about just being a community. Not going back to, and I think like it's crappy because social media is an awesome tool to like do meetups and stuff, but it's also the tool in which like a lot of this happens too. We're using social media to have this event. So social media is awesome, but like everybody will say something in social media and it can get carried away very fast.
Oh, absolutely.
And so it's hard to maintain these communities. However, Haunters Against Hate and really the horror community, like there's some outliers, like Halloween 2018, like that was an outlier. People didn't agree. Candyman 2021, split opinion. More liked, I think, Candyman than didn't like it, more so than Halloween for sure. Pet Sematary 2019. God, Charlie and I fight about that movie all the time. So there are like some new movies that have done that. Most of them are, I think, are remakes, actually.
Or you look at a movie like The Witch. That's split.
That was very split opinion movie. You're right.
But at the end of the day, kind of like everybody gets like chirpy for maybe a day, and then everybody just kind of talks about the next movie.
Yeah.
Like nobody holds on to it. Like no one cares. Yeah, see, like John here, this is why we love Halloween. It's a community holiday and not just a family holiday. Yeah, that's absolutely. Well, I mean, anybody can be family. We can say that much. Like everybody's got whatever they would consider family. Doesn't necessarily need to be blood, but I do see what John is saying, that this is everybody. You could be your neighbor, it could be your whole, you know, work crew if you want it to be. It could be everybody, literally. And I do think that's why it is the best holiday, without a doubt.
And Haunters as a community truly, truly band together and treat each other like family. I've never seen such a close-knit group of people in my life. I really haven't. And I've been working in the haunt industry 9 years now.
Wow.
I also used to scare the haunt.
Mm.
Well, I was involved in that too, and doing the advertising and all that before Haunters and State pretty much took over, where I can't really scare anymore. Even though maybe, you know, one night a year, you know, during the season, I'll scare just to get that out of my system.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you got. I will say this, man. Like, it is the most therapeutic thing to scare.
Yes, it is. I agree. Yes, it is. It's adrenaline. You get, once you scare someone, then you have that adrenaline rush where it's like, okay, now I have to scare the next group even more.
The thing about it too is you can be having like the shittiest day and go scare, and then it's like the best night ever. Like you could take character, you take like character classes, whatever, whatever. Like you don't need any of that shit. Just go scare in a haunted house after a bad day and you'll find your character.
Right, you will.
Now, Danielle said, I'm not sure if this came, I know, on a point you had prior, but she was agreeing. I think when you were talking about how haunters will always take care of each other.
Yeah.
John is asking, what character were you when you scared?
My character is actually called, they named me Shovel Man, of all things.
Shovel Man.
Yes, and I was in the queue line, and I would scrape my shovel along the concrete.
Wow.
And, you know, I had this like gruesome mask on and overalls and stuff like that. Never said a word to anyone, but I scared more people with that shovel than you could imagine. And I got to, you know, I was getting to a point where I could scrape it and actually spark it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was Shovel Man. And we talk about like the, you know, these haunt characters that you know, and I don't scare anymore. Because this was in Indianapolis and I'm not there anymore. And if I go to visit, they'll be like, is Shovel Man coming back this weekend? So I got to be known as Shovel Man.
So did you like drag the shovel? Like what were you doing? Just
I
like
drag it, hold it. I would go up to people that were standing in line and stand behind them. Now I'm short, I'm a little guy. So I would stand behind them and they wouldn't see me and I would just scrape, you know, and they'd go flying, screaming.
That's pretty rad.
Yes, with a shovel of all things. No huge, you know, extravagant things. A basic shovel.
That's something that is very visceral. That has the sound that there's something about the sound of just the metal against like the asphalt that is. It's kind of like nails on a chalkboard almost. That's
exactly what it is. And when people aren't aware that you're behind them in line and they're talking with their friends and you're just standing there and all of a sudden scrape. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And, yeah, that's one thing Disney will never, I think, have like a full scare event that will be scare only without some kind of like childhood, something going on nearby at least. But one scare kind of tactic thing that they do is they do have like grave diggers that come out once in a while. They're in the parade like all the time, but every once in a while they're actually out and they will do the shovel thing, the spark around. So that is a cool little scare. Yeah.
Very effective. Very effective. I could, you know, I could see, I've been to other haunts where they do that too now, and I can see why it works all the time. And like you said, it's that noise, that grating sound of the metal on asphalt.
Yeah. The fact that it's so easy to spark up too is pretty wild, that it's just easy to, and it's nothing, like when you look at it from 20 feet away, it's like nothing. It's just little baby sparks that are in the air at 2 seconds. But when you don't expect it, and then all of a sudden it's 5 inches apart from you, then you're freaking out for sure.
Right. And one of the cool things too with the Book of Haunters is I've traveled around a bit to some of the haunts that have been in my book, or the actors' haunts, and to finally meet them in character is really cool too. Because I get like a kid where if I'm going to haunt and I know several actors have been in my books, I will actually bring the books with me and have with a Sharpie and have them autograph and stuff like that. Or if I go to, say, Midwest Haunters Convention, a lot of haunters are there, and I keep the books on my table at my booth. So they go over and autograph and all that. And it's nice to, you know, meet these people finally face to face, because in a way, I almost have 90%, if not all of them, almost memorized, having worked on these books diligently and, you know, going through all the forms and reading their bios and getting the images to the quality I want them. I almost get to know all these people. So it's really fantastic.
That's really cool to see that, that you in person get to go and have them all sign the book after the book has been out. I think it's like a cool little like chef's kiss, to put the whole thing for that volume to bed, so to speak. Right. When you go out there, do they know that you are going out there? Do you surprise them? Like, do they know you're going through the houses?
Not always, no. You know, sometimes I'll just, you know, oh my God, there's, you know, I'll just show up. Sometimes they know, but most of the time it's like, no. Mm-mm.
I was going to say, I would almost want them not to know so that you see it when it's like, when they're at their true, like, zone or whatever.
But generally, I'm wearing a shirt or something, and then I'll be like, wait a minute, you know? Yeah. But one of the cool things that has happened is, I think it was in volume 2 or volume 3, I had a series of haunters from Movie Park, Germany, that's near Dusseldorf, send images in. And Movie Park, Germany is almost like, you know, it's an amusement park. So they have roller coasters. It's like a Six Flags type. And I've gotten quite close to a lot of these German haunters, and they have been chatting, and they talk to the executives at the park, and they're talking about having a Haunters Against Hate event this year in Germany.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be nuts. And they want me to come over, and I'm like, let me see. I would love to. I really would. I would love to visit all of these people that I've gotten to know.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. That, I mean, that's a huge testament of how much that has completely spread, the fact that it's gone, you know, over the Atlantic to, you know, to Germany. That is that is pretty wild.
It is. And there was an issue where two people that review, not necessarily review attractions or amusement parks, but amusement parks around the world, and they're based in Germany, and they're very heavily involved with Movie Park Germany. And I guess someone who goes to the park quite often, a customer, found out that they were LGBT and wrote some very hateful speech on social media about them. And they formed this, or they came up with this thing, Freakspark, Sinnbunt, I think it's, which means amusement parks are colorful. And I created a special shirt just for them in Germany. So it says Free Corps Sin Bund and then Haunters Against Hate. And they all wear them there. So
nice.
Yes.
I think that, it's always interesting to me to see like the kind of things that people get upset over. And it's always very interesting. You see, you know, the things that I love the most, movies, you know, theme parks, haunted houses, all spawn events that you truly at events for. You see the worst in ourselves kind of consistently. And it's always interesting to see what the breaking point is for us. Like more often than not, like at Disney or something, it is the like stroller in the heels. Mm-hmm. And it's probably day 3 or 4 of a vacation, probably 2, maybe 2.5 kids. And yeah, it's like the 5th time that the dad has actually hit the mom in the heels with the dad's like steering it chagrinly. But yeah, he hits the mom. That's a big one. Again and again. Haunt wise, like haunt in a theme park wise, the big one I think ultimately, especially like at HHN last year that I saw, was like the back to back. Like I went, and this is how I'm doing it again this year in Orlando, but literally I went to the HHN and I woke up and went to the behind the screams at 8 o'clock. So let's pretend I was in bed at 3, which is probably a safe estimate. I was at the Aventura, so 3 o'clock, I'm in bed, 3:15, I'm asleep, whatever. We're back at the Blue Man Theater by 8:30. So I was up probably by like 6, and then I went to HHN that night. So that 36 hours, I got a total of like 3 hours of sleep. And it was like towards the end of it, I was beat up. Mm-hmm. But it was worth it. I'd do it again. And the community that is HHN is totally interesting, because it always will kind of like be waylaid by this certain hate, but they always will put all the other stuff aside when it comes to shit that just makes sense, mm-hmm. like common sense. And I see that with the theme park community more so than like sport teams or like stuff like that. Like the themed entertainment community, I would say, is definitely like when the stuff like crosses the boundary of whatever realm you are in, like HHN, once it becomes bigger than HHN, everybody kind of puts all qualms aside, and now we collectively fight for the better option. Mm-hmm. It's always really cool to see that within the Haunters Against Hate community for the most part. And I think that when people try to sabotage, like within the theme park community too, when people try to sabotage it, those people now more than ever are getting kind of weeded out. And not to use the term, I hate the term canceling.
Oh, I do too. I can't stand it.
Because no one's ever really canceled. You're not canceled. Like no one is physically stopping you. Like honestly, you're not canceled, but you are being called out. And if you're being called out, like the way I was raised, like just own up for being called out. But the thing that Haunters Against Hate is against is hate.
Right.
And I think that it is awesome in the sense that it provides the safe place to begin with, where you know, everybody has the same kind of value system and like-mindedness, that there's no conflict off of the get-go already. And then you get to be there for each other if some kind of like conflict arises. I honestly think faster than most people would be for each other in a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what you have created, man, is very awesome.
Thank you. I, over the past couple of months with the heavy promotion of my events and stuff coming up in July, I've had some internet trolls say some hateful things about Hunters Against Hate. And I don't engage. I won't engage in it because that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I won't give them the satisfaction of that. It's like, just delete and move on. But I've had people that are part of the Hunters Against Hate group want to go after them and make their kind. And I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it. It's like, they, once again, the trash will take itself out. It's not, you know, don't engage. That's what they want. And it, and then you're stooping down, and before you know it, it gets very, very ugly, very, very fast. And it's not,
yeah,
you know, it's like, no, just let it go.
For sure. I think that you have to always remember, like you just said, the biggest thing that they want is the attention. And then kind of rise above the fact that the biggest reward that they can get is attention. And then whatever you do, don't give it to them. And eventually they will just kind of F off and be on their way.
Yeah. I had someone make a post because I have four of the actors from the movie Day of the Dead coming to my... And someone made a post saying, how dare you hijack something that I love with for your HAH stuff? Like, okay, it's not like I'm forcing. These people chose to be part of my event and are willingly wanting to come to my event. It's not like I'm hijacking anything from you. So stop that. It's nonsensical.
Well, and that's the thing, like, there was always the Star Wars debate after the Rise of Skywalker came out, and then the Mandalorian came out. The newest thing was that Disney was going to cancel 7, 8, and 9 and like remake them, pretend like they didn't happen. And it was just kind of like if you knew what you were saying, like, you wouldn't understand what you wouldn't understand. All right, if you understood the weight of what you were saying, the bearings of what you were saying, I would hope there would be some good in you to not say it in the first place. Like, if your IQ level was at the level of which you could understand what the words you just said meant, I would hope you would be the person that would never say it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're too stupid to realize how stupid what you just said sounds.
Well, my attitude is, if you don't want to, if my event doesn't interest you, that's fine. No problem. You don't need to make a nasty post about it. Just don't come. That's all. Simple as that.
That's really what it boils down to, is the thing about horror conventions, more so than any others, is that they always have a huge following that'll show up, really, no matter how, you know, who is on the ticket, like, people are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter who was on the HAH, the event ticket, which you got some cool people on it, but I do think whoever you guys ended up announcing was going to bring in people just out of the fact that it's centered around the Hunters Against Hate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, people are going to rally to that call, regardless if it's, you know, some local band versus, you know, whoever. So I think that that is very cool in itself too.
Well, and the nice thing, the one thing that I'm recognizing, like at the first, I'm having it, of course, this year. I had it last year. I have the Haunters Kent State Awards, where I'm giving, you know, a Haunter of the Year award to someone who shows the quality and what Haunters Kent State is all about. And for example, this year, it's going to a 14-year-old boy who is a haunter now at a haunt in Chicago, but from the ages of 7 to 11, he created his own little haunt, home haunt, and raised $20,000 in 4 years to give to charity.
Wow.
And that alone, in my opinion, deserves that Haunter of the Year award for him because of what he's done at such a young age. And haunting is his passion. I mean, have you ever heard of Hell's Gate Haunted House?
That definitely rings a bell, yeah.
Well, and now he's a haunter there. So, yep, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
That is pretty wild. Where is Hell's Gate Haunted House at?
I want to say Lockport, Illinois. So that's right outside Chicago.
Okay. The one thing I will say, I think that California both offers, but at least lacks in certain regards to Northern California, is both commercial and independent haunts. Like Higbee Horror Haunt here in Modesto is really kind of like the last hurrah for at least 20 miles around us. When it comes to Halloween, there was a time where you couldn't go like five. There was a lot operating in Modesto just alone. That's taking nothing away from Higbee. Like, they deserve to be the last one standing. Mm-hmm. They like continue to grow, it seems, year after year. So I think that California, though, does offer a lot of very cool, like, commercial experiences.
Mm-hmm. I've been in LA for 17 years. I don't know if you knew that.
The what?
I lived in Los Angeles for 17 years.
Oh, so, nice. So did you ever do HHN?
Yes, I did. I did Not Scary Farm for 22 years in a row.
Holy smokes.
Because after I lived in LA, I moved to Vegas for 7 years, and I would drive in from Vegas to hit HHN and Not Scary Farm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's definitely like the trip that most, I think, Northern Californians take over the course of like at least a weekend every October, mm-hmm. was for Knott's and HHN. Are a combination of like Six Flags and HHN or Knott's and Dark, you know, Queen Mary, whatever.
Right.
So that's cool, man. So you have that appreciation that comes with being able to see it at the level of a HHN or the level of Not Scary Farm, but then you also get to see it at the appreciation for an independent haunt. It sounds like at this like Hell's Gate thing in Illinois.
Amazing haunt. So, one I've ever been to.
So I think that's wild. That's the same thing that goes for Higbee, is the fact that I can't get over the fact that some of the things that they create on an indie budget are to the level of some things that I've seen at Six Flags, like better than,
right,
to be honest. So it is always cool when you see that accomplished. Same thing in like a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, It Follows, you mentioned that movie earlier. It Follows, that movie was a very independent movie, independent budget of a movie. And, you know, here we are, and it's, you know, been 5 years-ish, and it's still one of the more talked about horror movies you know, in interviews and stuff that I do, like It Follows gets brought up a lot right now to this day. And it seems like it leaves an impact. Jason has a question that's actually a really good question. He says, what is the chances that there will ever be a Haunters Against Hate convention or some kind of event in California?
I'm trying to explore that. It's difficult being here, but for example, I was invited to come to Midsummer Scream this year. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. But as Haunters Against Hate is growing, I'm dedicating more and more time to it, where it's becoming almost like a full-time thing for me now, especially since, as of last year, become a 501c3 official corporation, which is fantastic. I mean, that was a lot of work, and it took me years to get there, but I did it. So I want to get to the point now where I can set up maybe it's a Midsummer Scream, Monsterpalooza, and stuff like that, or talk to Queen Mary. Or I don't know. You know, it's a little more difficult, say, with Not Scary Farm because it is such a big corporate entity, you know, but I can certainly ask them, like, maybe you could have a Haunters Against Hate night or a special LGBT pride night and have Haunters Against Hate, which, you know, the haunts in this area do, the independent haunts. I've spoken to Cedar Point, which is actually owned by the parent company of Not Scary Farm. It's all under the same corporate umbrella, you know, so it may happen at some point as Haunters Can Say keeps growing, because I do want to come out. I want to have a bigger presence on the West Coast.
I would say that you definitely do have a pretty decent one, at least. I think that, you know, every time that we have had a gathering of the size of like a convention, we do see some kind of, you know, whether it be in the form of like a sticker or a badge or a t-shirt or some kind of something. Like I do, it seems like the last, you know, time there's been a large enough gathering that's within the horror community, see Haunters Against Hate. I can remember, you know, being the person that was kind of like giving out the cards when we were meeting people at Sinister Creature Con. To now being the one that, you know, seeing people wearing the shirt, it's a pretty cool to know that your message is spreading, man. That's awesome.
I like this year in July, I am going to Texas Haunters Convention, which is outside of Dallas, and they are donating part of their ticket sales to Haunters Against Hate. So I'm going to have a presence now in Texas. A bigger presence, which is great. And there's also Fear Factory SLC, which is located in Salt Lake City, which has invited me out to come to their haunt. There's another one called Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia that has invited me there. So it's spreading more and more. You know, it's just, for me, it's difficult to get all the t-shirts, all the product out to California. You know, because I would like to bring that with me if I'm going to have a presence there. You know, I just don't want to sit there and go, hi. You know, not that it's a bad thing, but I want to be able to offer people stuff too that, you know, you want to.
Yeah, for sure.
Buy a shirt, a pin, a patch, something like that.
For sure. I would say that there is a balance to it. Mm-hmm. That you kind of have to fill out. I think it's probably like an event thing more than it is a crowd thing. I think it just kind of varies on where right. you are in that particular day and the certain energy in the room.
Right. And of course, it's a budgetary thing too. You know, it's like I have to make sure the funds are there to be able to come to California
and for sure.
transport there. It's like my big thing is I don't want to take away too much from the donations I receive or the sales I make, because that is important to me to give back to the LGBT youth groups across the United States. And I've given to youth groups in California, in Oregon, even up to Alaska now. That's important. But look at what's happened in Germany, where the Haunters at this Six Flags type place have spoken to corporate, and corporate has reached out to me because they are interested in doing something. So that could maybe happen eventually with Six Flags or Cedar Fair or who knows, Universal. You never know.
Bro, if anything, and I mean this with all sincerity, if anything, you bringing Haunters Against Hate would be like, it would be as if Knott's Berry Farm secured the rights to the Universal Monsters. That's the kind of thing you go into them. It would be like, that's how much you would help them. Like, we could do another show all about how much Fright Fest is doing wrong. But it's kind of hard to do when it's the Haunters Against Hate
Foundation. Fright Fest?
Yeah, man. Fright Fest.
I've never been to a Six Flags Fright Fest, so I have no opinion on it. I've never been.
You can watch, like, the guests of on this con Fast Pass with us. They're like the nicest Disney couple vloggers you could ever imagine. Like, they will be the first people to try to lift you up if you are having a rough day. Like, never see them get mad. And you watch this Fright Fest video and you progressively see them break spiritually. And it is the funniest fucking thing I've ever watched in my life. And he, like, I like cried laugh when he showed us, because he like made sure he was like, okay, I want you to understand. And like, it's a thread between John, and his name is Jason, and I, and he like pitched us. He's like, okay, now you can watch it. It's on our YouTube channel.
I would back out. I would love to come back to Not Scary. It's been several years since I've been, and it just has a special place in my heart, and it always will, because it was the first major haunt that I went to when I had moved to California, and I didn't know what to expect. And back then, Not Scary was much smaller, you know, not the huge thing it is now, and it was actually very, very creepy.
Yeah. And
I loved it. I loved it. I was like, this is amazing. And I made a point. I would go back every year. Even I would get the special, like, I would stay at the hotel there. I would get in early, have the, you know, buffet that they call it before the event. It was just, I did the whole thing, and I was like a kid. I even have one of the actors that's from Not Scary Farm in one of the books, which is fantastic.
That is, man. We are running a little late for this panel, but Paul, man, we thank you we thank everyone who was participating in the chat. This was an awesome discussion. Shout out where everybody can kind of find the information on the Haunters Against Hate, the event.
Well, you can go to hauntersagainsthate.com. On the main page, there is you can click on a link that will take you to it's haahtheevent.com, which is the dedicated website for the event coming up July 8th through the 10th. So either website is fine.
Awesome, man. The event, like I said, it only got, from what we saw, was good reviews from the people that were there. And again, seems like it's picking up momentum going into its second year. So we definitely, when you see us flash that QR code, recommend just scanning the QR code or headed over to Haunters Against Hate and checking out all their information via social media or their websites. But Paul,
I told you before I go, where else, what other haunt con can you go to where you can meet celebrities and then play with baby goats?
There you go. Yeah. It's like the witch in real life.
Exactly. And I'm going to have my Haunters Against Hate special Black Phillip shirts that I had made at the event. So
there you go. Wow.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, though.
That is a sales ad to the extreme, is you get a black goat in that t-shirt for real.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you.
So anyway, thank you, man. We appreciate it. Everybody check out Hunters Against Hate, and we look forward to the rest of this weekend on Halfway to Halloween.
Thank you.
So there you go, man. There was Paul. We had a great time with him. As always, he is a super rad guy. And we definitely, like I mentioned, appreciate the support for Hunters Against Hate and everything that goes into Hunters Against Hate. We will have this, like I said, the link for Hunters Against Hate and all the Halfway to Halloween proceeds that go out to us for that. You know, a link for you to donate and such. That will happen in the show notes. You guys can click on it. And I know for a fact he really does appreciate that, man. So with that, though, I will say goodbye. Next week, we will have Joshua Milliken back on promoting his book that is about to come out, Deeper Than Hell. We had him on roughly about a month ago. And yeah, he was a guest at Halfway to Halloween. So that'll, like I said, that'll be next week's podcast. And we will talk to you guys then. Stay tuned for Campfire Chronicles. Stay tuned for probably a tribute show as well. So stay tuned for all of that. Take care, everybody.